Please open your Bibles now to the book of James. We'll be looking at James chapter 1 this evening, focusing on verses 19 through 25. We've been working through James now for the last few weeks. And last time we focused on the goodness of God, the good gifts that He gives to His people. Tonight, the focus in this section is on the Word of God, His good Word. And we see a tie-in, a transition, as we go from verse 18 into this section, 19 through 25. I'll mention more about that later. But I'm going to go ahead and read verse 18 so we see that transition, and then I'll read verses 19 through 25 this evening. Please give attention. This is God's holy Word. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. How much time do you think that you will spend hearing the Word of God in a lifetime? Well, it's hard to estimate, but let's estimate it and keep it real simple so that we can figure this out. Let's just focus on the public worship times, recognizing that there are obviously many other settings that provide an opportunity for you to hear the Word of God and to receive instruction in the Word of God. But if you spend 2 hours per week, if you came to the morning and evening worship times, and then you take 50 weeks per year to keep the math easy, and 60 years, let's say, well, that's 6,000 hours of listening, of hearing, of being impacted by the Word of God, instruction from the Scriptures. That's 3 years at 40 hours a week, if you were to compress it a little bit. Or 36 days at 24 hours a day, which no one could ever deal with. But 6,000 hours over the course of 60 years, just for the public worship times. Well, with that much time hearing God's Word, isn't it worth asking the question, what kind of a hearer are you? What kind of a listener are you to the Word of God? Well, I came across an interesting section in one of Chuck Swindoll's books regarding different listeners that are found in the church. See if any of these might pertain to you. He said, there is the intellectual who feverishly takes notes during the sermon, exerts a lot of mental activity in considering the points, but then that's as far as it goes. The message is never really internalized. The intellectual. But then there's the critic. The critic is looking for mistakes, misspellings in the bulletin, misspoken words in the message, grammatical misuse in the way things are stated. The critic. Then there's the entertainer. Wants to be amused. He's looking for the clever anecdote or the interesting story or sweeping gestures or colorful commentaries. He wants to be entertained. Another type of listener is the observer. And this person is there to see what everybody else is doing in this service, noting the time of arrival, the style of dress, various mannerisms, idiosyncrasies. They're the observer. There's also the organizer. The sermon is a great time for this individual to plan the next week. Menus, schedules, appointments. They're working through that during the sermon. It's a great time to go through and make sure they've got all those things taken care of. And then finally, there's the Pharisee. The Pharisee is a good listener, and he may actually nod in agreement with the sermon. He might even mutter some amens under his breath from time to time. But what's going through his mind? Man, I hope John is listening to that. Or I sure hope Jane had heard what the pastor said on that point. The Pharisee, the self-righteous. Well, of course, all of these are exaggerated caricatures and not fully descriptive of any one individual, but they do express a mixture of attitudes, probably that you and I have had different times when we've sat under the preaching of the Word during those 6,000 hours when we come to worship the Lord. What kind of listener are you? Well, in our text this evening, we have a challenge from James to his readers to be faithful hearers of the Word. And from this passage, I want you to notice three marks of the faithful hearer of God's Word. And they should characterize each one of us as we come to hear the Word of God week after week. Whatever the setting, we come to the Word with these qualities present in our lives. The first thing is the faithful hearer prepares to hear the Word. He prepares to hear the Word. In verses 19 to 21, James describes the kind of preparation for faithful hearing. And initially, when you begin reading in verse 19, maybe you think this really doesn't seem to apply to hearing God's Word. It seems like this comment relates more to bridling the tongue. And though it certainly has application for us in our speech, the use of tongues, notice again, as I mentioned earlier, that it's sandwiched between verses that deal with the value of hearing and doing the Word of God. Verse 19 begins, "This you know." And it's a reference back to what was stated in verse 18, and that is a reference to the Word of truth that's mentioned there, by which we are born again. And then in verse 21, in the second part of that verse, returns again to this topic of God's Word and focusing on doing that Word by which we were born again. So these verses address how the Word impacts our lives, and the thrust is on the proper preparation for receiving the Word of God in our lives. And there are, the first three areas relate to the mental attitude that we should have in hearing the Word. And then the next section, in terms of preparation, relates to the heart. We should be quick to hear in terms of our mental attitude. Think about the Bereans on Paul's second missionary journey. They had that attitude. They were quick to hear. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "They were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the Word with great eagerness." They were quick to hear. When you are quick to hear the Word, you have a teachable spirit. You're willing to hear. You're willing to learn from the Word of God. You're not argumentative, but your spirit is yielded to God and you want to learn from Him. You're quick to hear. Furthermore, the faithful hearer is slow to speak. Now, one who is quick to speak gives a sense that he has all the answers. Rather than hearing and learning, he wants to relieve his mind of the wealth of knowledge that he has acquired. He wants to share his opinion. But if you're a ready listener, you will not engage in quick, reactionary speech. Now, thankfully, that doesn't happen very often in our worship services. I don't know that I've ever had somebody stand up and react publicly in a worship service to what was being preached. But does that not happen sometimes in our hearts? Does that not happen as we listen to the Word, as we're exhorted from the Word, that we react against it, that we become argumentative in our hearts as we hear that Word being proclaimed? Are you quick to exclude yourself from specific applications? We need to silence the reactionary voices of our sinful hearts and listen. Be listeners, slow to speak, instead waiting upon the Lord, seeking to learn from Him. The psalmist in Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." That's the nature of being slow to speak, the attitude of waiting upon the Lord rather than reacting against His Word. Third aspect of a mental attitude in hearing the Word is to be slow to anger. Slow to anger. One of our first responses when we're confronted with sin in our lives or error, is it not anger? It's not that get the hair up on the back of your neck. Do you become a little bit defensive at that point? How dare you say such a thing to me? We might be thinking, or you should be talking. Look at your life. We become angry. Similarly, when the Word of truth is preached or taught, the temptation at times when it becomes very specific about error in our own lives is to become angry. And that may be due to unaddressed seeds of anger that are resident in our lives. Seeds like resentment and bitterness that we've never dealt with because of past offenses. Seeds of anger such as envy or covetousness. Seeds of anger such as pride and self-righteousness. And when we're confronted, those seeds spring up and produce the fruit of an angry response to the Word of God. Prayerfully search out and confess any seeds of anger that you may have. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. God's desire is that His righteousness be manifested increasingly in our hearts, in the lives of His children. A quick temper does not cultivate righteousness. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." So we see the mental preparation in these three areas. But then we also see that there is heart preparation that needs to take place. Verse 21 says, "Put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness." And the Greek word there refers to a filthy garment being cast aside. It's the same figurative language that Paul often uses with respect to doing away with what remains of the old sinful nature in the lives of born-again Christians. Think about Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. He writes there, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." And so we're to be putting aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness, as we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. When we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, a couple of times a year we have a guest minister come and we have a preparatory service, we call it, on Saturday evening. And there's a reason for that. It's an opportunity for self-examination, for heart preparation, so that we come to the tables with hearts that are right before the Lord as we seek to commune with Him, as we seek to be renewed and nourished in our souls for godliness in the Christian life. But this same type of preparation is important as we come to hear the Word. Do we take that as seriously as we do coming to the Lord's table? Do we prepare our hearts to hear the Word week after week so that we're ready, so that our hearts are receptive as we have confessed sin, as we have sought to lay aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. We need to prepare our hearts. Well, as you can see, this kind of preparation takes time and it takes commitment. Those of you who have participated in athletic events in your experience understand something about special preparations associated with game days. When I was in high school, I played football, and there was a kind of a special pattern that we followed every week before a game. There was a curfew before the night before the game. You had to get in at a certain time, so you got plenty of rest ahead of time. And then before the game, actually one year, the high school had a team meal a couple different times, where the team all gathered together for a meal in the afternoon before the game. And then players were told to arrive early so that they could tape and get all of their dressing done in good time before it was time to take the field. And then before the game, after all the warm-ups, we would come and we would actually just sit and in a quiet setting, in the quiet gym, and think about all of the assignments that we had, all the things that we were to do in our particular positions that we played. But there was a lot of preparation that went in just to that one game that we would play. Well, think about the Lord's Day when you come to worship God. Do you take that kind of care and preparation to be a hearer, a faithful hearer of the Word? Think about that. That means preparing ahead of time. What about Saturday night? What do you do Saturday night to prepare for the Lord's Day? Do you get good rest? Or do you stay up all hours of the night so that you come into the worship service really sleepy and not alert, not having gotten good rest? Do you set aside time for prayer and reflection Saturday evening? Do you talk to your children about the importance of being prepared for worship so they're anticipating coming together as a family to worship with God's people? Spend some time in the Word, maybe reading the Word together, singing and praying. Do you pray for the preachers of the Word as they prepare to minister that Word? How about the trip to worship? Do you use time on the commute to worship, maybe to sing psalms together in the car, or to maybe put a CD with psalms on it, listening to the Word sung so that your thoughts are being focused on God and His Word? Do you plan to arrive on time, maybe even early? Those are simple things, but it's preparation that can help you be a faithful hearer of the Word so that you are prepared to receive what God has for you. Well, as we move forward in this passage, we see that not only do we need to prepare, but faithful hearers receive that Word. They receive that Word. John Calvin writes, "If we desire to be the living plantation of God, we must subdue our proud hearts and be humble, and labor to become like lambs, so as to suffer ourselves to be ruled and guided by our shepherd." We need to receive, prepare to receive the Word. And when we hear that Word, we do need to receive it. A faithful hearer receives God's Word in humility, we see here. James says, in humility, receive the Word implanted. That word may also be translated in meekness or in gentleness, and it means a spirit of submission. And that doesn't exclude examining the message with respect to the Bible, as the Bereans did in their response in Acts chapter 17. They were ready listeners, they were eager listeners, but they also examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so you should be in the Word, examining it to see if the message that is being communicated is so, that it's rooted in biblical truth, and you're understanding it correctly. A humble heart is searching for the truth and is earnest in seeking for God's will. It's not hard-hearted. It's not challenging the Word. It's like that picture that we have in Psalm 131. Describes the spirit of humility that's being called for here. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is weaned. My soul is a weaned child within me. It's a beautiful picture of tender submission. And that's what we should have in our hearts as we receive the Word implanted. Also, we see the faithful hearer receives God's Word in faith. The Word received is that which is able to save your souls, James says. And that involves faith. It's faith that understands the Word, which is more than just worldly wisdom. It's the source of life, the source of eternal life, which comes through Christ. It's faith that recognizes Word as authoritative, as God-breathed, as profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so receiving the Word of God in faith is really critical to our salvation. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith." He's talking to the church in Hebrews. And he's talking about people who heard, but they didn't combine that hearing with faith. It was of no value. They didn't receive the blessings of eternal life, the salvation that comes through embracing the gospel by faith. When you become a member of this church, you make a public profession of faith. And the first question answered is what? We've been going through this in the church information study. First question is, do you believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God, the only infallible rule for faith and life? This must be our continual attitude as we receive the Word, that we believe it's the only infallible rule for faith and life. It's the only unfailing standard for what we're to believe and how we're to live as God's people. It's the Word of life. It's the way of life. And it should direct our lives as those redeemed by God through faith in Christ. So we're to receive the Word with deep humility and with genuine faith. Well, thirdly, and finally, the faithful hearer is a doer of the Word, we read. That's God's command to us. We are to be not merely hearers of the Word, but doers, effectual doers of it. The prepared hearer who receives the Word in humility and faith and love for God will implement that Word in his life. To sit in church week after week, under the preaching, under the teaching of the Word of God, and to remain unchanged is to be a deluded hearer. That's what he's telling us here. In effect, James is saying, you are deceiving yourself if you claim to have received the gospel, but you fail to be continually influenced by the Word of God. And he gives us a vivid illustration of this, of what it means to be influenced in verses 23 and 24. The forgetful hearer is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. Each one of us go through this in our morning routine, I'm sure. We get up in the morning in this grooming process, dressing process. We stand in front of the mirror. We see what needs to be worked on. We try to get that fixed as best we can. We glance at the mirror, see that things are in place or as much as possible. Then we leave. We walk away from that mirror. When we turn away, what happens? Well, we forget what we look like. We're not thinking about that anymore. We forget. Well, it's the same with those who hear the Word and don't do the Word. The truths of Scripture are that mirror in which God makes Himself known to us. He shows us what we look like as we examine our lives by the Word. He shows us what we need to do, how we need to be transformed by that Word so that we may grow to be like Him. And a quick external glance does not have an impact. If when the Word is preached, a person listens and thinks that's a nice message, but then he walks out the door without making any commitment before the Lord to apply that Word, he has become this forgetful hearer that James is talking about. James says, don't be a forgetful hearer. Instead, what's the positive exhortation? Be an effectual doer. That means looking intently at the perfect law, James says. The law of liberty. That's really a reference to all of Scripture. It's the law of liberty because it reveals God's plan of redemption, the way to be set free from slavery to sin. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus told the Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My Word, then you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's the law of liberty, the Scriptures, the Gospel. It's what sets us free from our bondage to sin and from our condemnation, our just condemnation before God, the Holy One. It reveals the way to freedom from sin because it unfolds for us the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And it shows us how to live then as redeemed disciples of Jesus Christ, saved by His power and by His grace. Well, that's the word that we are to hear and abide in. And we are to hear that word with effect. And for that to happen, we need to be intentional in our hearing of the word, that we may apply it in our lives. Think about some of the ways that we can be intentional in this. We need to study and talk about the word. Talk about the sermons. Hopefully in a positive way, in a way of applying that, thinking about how that applies in your life. Talk about the word. Study that word. Think about Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, where we have this exhortation to God's people. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." Do you take time maybe around the dinner table on the Lord's Day and say, "What's one thing that you learned in the sermon today?" Or, "What's one thing you learned in your Sabbath school class today?" to your children. It's a way to talk about and to impress upon your children the truths of God's Word. We need to meditate on it and memorize it. Not only study and talk about it, we need to really think about it, chew upon it, and take it into our heart, treasure it up in our hearts through memorization. Minds young and old have the capacity to do this, believe it or not. And we've been doing that. Many of you adults have been stepping up and memorizing the Sabbath School Memory Program this year. It's a tremendous blessing. Even though it involves hard work, it reaps wonderful blessings in your life. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's the doing, the effectual doing. Why do we memorize it? Just so that we can get a star, get the prize at the end of the quarter? No. So that we might not sin against God, that we may obey and live for Him. And then we need to prayerfully take steps to put that word into practice. This is all the intentionality involved. As we seek not only to receive the word, but do it. It includes confessing past sins. It's part of this prayer. It's part of this application. It includes forsaking those sins and the power of Christ. It includes replacing them with the behavior that God calls for in His word. That righteous behavior that He wants us to put on in the power of the Spirit. And that's painful and difficult to do. It's difficult to have the Word of God expose our sin, to repent of that, to turn from it. But as we humble ourselves under the Word and in the grace of Christ, forsake that sin, seeking His cleansing, what blessing comes. What blessing there is in doing the will of God. An effectual doer of God's Word will be blessed in what he does, James says. You will stand in the good favor of the Lord. You'll find joy and satisfaction in His service and in close fellowship and in communion with the living God. The face of your heavenly Father will shine upon you rather than be turned from you. Psalm 119:2 says, "How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart." Don't be forgetful hearers, but effectual doers of the Word by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what kind of listener are you? 6,000 hours? Maybe many more. Some of you have already experienced many hours of instruction in your life. What effect has that had? Prayerfully prepare your mind and your heart to hear the Word each time you have the opportunity. Receive it in humility and faith. And by the power of God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ who lives in you, practice that word. This is the way to joy and blessing in the Lord now and even into eternity. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You have revealed the way of life in Your Word. You've given us the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. What a tremendous treasure this is, more valuable than silver and gold. And Father, we thank You for the way that You have opened our eyes to those truths through faithful teachers and proclaimers of those truths in our lives, whether parents or Sabbath school teachers or preachers. God, You have used Your servants to bring that Word to bear on our hearts and cause us to be born again, to respond in repentance and faith. And we rejoice in that. And Father, we confess that there are many times where we grow dull and listless in our hearing, callous even to the Word that You have given to us, this treasure. And we ask Your forgiveness for that and pray that You would work in our hearts to stir up a hunger and a thirst for You, a desire to meditate and to study Your Word and consider these life-giving truths. And God, by Your power, we pray that our lives would be transformed, that we would be effectual doers and not merely hearers who delude ourselves. Lord, bless the ministry of the Word this day in all of its different settings. Make it fruitful in our lives for Your glory as we go forth in the week ahead. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.